It's not like it's a competition that's on again next year. You have to wait a full Olympic cycle to go again. Realistically, most of the team aren't going to be here again for the next Olympics, so it's like it's do or die.
For the best Olympics coverage, subscribe to the OTB Highlights podcast feed on the OTB Sports app now.
Ronan Mullen, good morning to you.
Hakuna Matata, Owen. How are things?
Hakuna Matata, indeed. Kelly Harrington, Olympic medalist.
Yeah, she was brilliant, wasn't she? And like, you can't always translate it to what happens in the fight, but she just exuded such a sense of belonging in a ring walk. It was like Manny Pacquiao-esque in his heyday, where you just so serene and you knew she was clued into the task at hand. And I think, as you touched on a couple of minutes ago, it was never really in doubt. Khalif didn't overly trouble her on the scorecards, and she was pretty much in control for the full 9 minutes. And sort of an incremental rise in difficulty throughout this tournament. She didn't have many issues in her last fight either. This one was slightly trickier, just given the dimensions that were put in front of her. But as we said last week, it doesn't matter what you present to Kelly Harrington, she can adapt. She's so malleable style-wise and temperament-wise, and, you know, breeze to a bronze medal, really, in relative terms. And just a brilliant performance and a good fill-up for Team Ireland, boxing-wise and in the broader scheme of things, because it was a difficult weekend.
Yeah, it certainly was. Sunday, not so super Sunday, to say the very least. And it was just heartbreak left, right and centre. It wasn't even like complete car crash stuff. It was just narrow margins of defeat. And I'm sure, Ronan, there is such a close relationship between Kurt Walker and Aidan Walsh and Kelly Harrington that it is really a team mood, and a team mood that has been shifted this morning.
Yeah, for sure. And I think Kelly, after her first fight, cited Brendan Irvine, obviously the dual Olympian in the team and captain of the boxing team. And he obviously went out in the early throes of this tournament, but she spoke to how important he's been. And we had Emmett Brennan on the other day, and he's obviously central to the morale of the camp as well. So yeah, as you said, a very tight-knit group. And the Team Ireland vibe, I just have been so blown away by how impressive they've all been in their media dealings as well. And even Rory McIlroy, who, you know, we don't have to retread his commitment to the Team Ireland cause, Owen, but like, even him, you could see him beaming as just being a part of the collective. They seem to have real camaraderie in the broader 100 plus athletes and in the little microcosm of this boxing team. Thankfully, we've got the good ship Irish boxing back on track here, and two medals is nothing to be sniffed at. I think we can be very happy with that.
Absolutely. So just to get back to this morning's fight then. So you've obviously spoken there about the way Kelly Harrington's managed to figure out a lot of these bouts. Do you think that they've set out almost a bracket for themselves before the games, where she kind of knows the fighter she is expected to fight and she works on game plans for all of them? Or is it actually kind of down to her herself to figure it out in fight, because there just isn't enough time to go through all the possible permutations of opponents?
Yeah, with Rebecca Nicolai in the last round, Team Ireland would have had a good bit of tape on her. They would have come up against her in past competition, and like, it was a nice draw for Kelly to get things started as far as Olympic debuts go. Some of her counterparts in the team didn't have it so lucky, but she was quite happy with that initial draw. This was a trickier one on paper. You know, Khalif brought a different set of skills to the table, really. And while it's good preparation in the sense that she's had to adapt to two different styles so far, like, it's going to be a huge fall forward in quality in her next fight, as compared to Cess Dundee, who had a real tough fight today against Caroline Dubois and has had her acid test going into the semi-final. Kelly, if you had to nitpick, could say she's going in slightly cold in terms of the level of competition she's fought so far, not to diminish them, but if you compare Caroline Dubois to what Kelly's faced so far, there's probably no competition. So I'd still back her. She's got form against Cess Dundee going into the semi-final, beat her in the World Championships of 2018. It's a great styles matchup. Two very accomplished boxers who've both boxed at higher weights and come down to really flourish in the lightweight division. So it's an excellent fight. You know, obviously at the business end of the Olympics, a lot of the semi-finals and finals are going to be elite tier. But there's nothing between them, really. And it's a very enthralling fight in prospect, I would say.
Ronan, am I reading too much into it to suggest, you know, with the draw being made and Aidan Walsh getting that look of the draw and the bye through the first round, we know Kelly Harrington got the bye as well based on her seeding, and Michaela Walsh, unfortunately, she couldn't medal, but got the bye as well. Like, having that one less fight, is that a huge advantage? Is it? Am I reading too much into it to say that our two medalists had the one less fight and the less battering of their bodies, I guess?
No, it's an interesting point, and obviously you're correct in citing that Aidan Walsh was quote unquote lucky to get his bye in, that it was just a lottery bye, whereas Kelly based off seeding, and you know, it's just a numbers game with that. And like, it has played to her advantage in one sense, but also she was the last member of the Irish boxing team to step into the ring. And as we all know, Kelly Harrington, you know, she was getting itchy hands, I'm sure. She was dying to get in there and blow off the cobwebs last Friday. So it looks like she's built nice momentum in these two fights already and really hit the ground running on Friday and improved, I would say, an even better performance this time around. We'll need a super quality performance on Thursday to get to silver medal, gold medal contention. But I think that goes without saying, the best thing you can say about her is, and you kind of phrased it in the intro there, Owen, that she's taken it all in her stride. She's, while somewhat emotional to have secured Olympic medalist status, she knows this isn't the end of her journey. She came here with higher hopes, and it's somewhat similar to O'Donovan and McCarthy in the rowing, whereas that seemed more like a foregone conclusion. I don't want to draw a direct parallel, whereas they were the clear favourites. Kelly's got some seriously choppy waters to navigate, especially on the other side of the draw where Mira Pakkinen is over there, and the Brazilian current world medalist, who's probably a gold medal favourite if you're looking at the bookmakers. So I think it's not a foregone conclusion by any means, but Kelly Harrington knows she's got a gold medal talent and she'll want to deliver on that.
I think it's her attitude, like, as well, Ronan. Like you mentioned, like, even the Lion King quotes, like the walkouts, the confidence, like, and one of the quotes from her after the fight last night, she says, "Sometimes I think I'm lucky. You can't be that lucky though to be winning all these things and then end up here and have a bronze medal in the Olympic Games." Like, she's right. She has earned this. And like, have you seen a Sisondi being a matchup from a repeat of the 2018 fight makes it all the more interesting? Like, is Kelly Harrington a better fighter than she was even in 2018?
Yeah, they've both got really interesting trajectories, but obviously from our own perspective, Kelly Harrington coming off the back of profound success from Katie Taylor in the exact same division, like, the parallels are clear to be seen, and she obviously had to bide her time. 31 is prime age for boxers, so it's not as if she's coming to late to the party or anything like that, but this is very much her time. And, you know, while the Paris Games is only 3 years away, this is kind of her moment. If she's going to become an Olympic champion, you'd think it would be this one. And Sisondi, similar age profile and similar journey in that she did come down to 60 kgs for the Olympic chance and, like, showed her credentials in that World Championships in 2018, where got a big upset win in the semi-final. The final itself, I watched a bit of it back this morning while I was double screening with Timmy McCarthy, Team USA, mm-hmm. in the background. But, you know, it's an interesting one for Kelly to navigate. You know, Sisondi is a southpaw. You saw Kelly today switching between southpaw and orthodox. I don't think we can underestimate the difficulty of how brilliantly she does that. Like, that's basically like playing golf with both hands, or playing snooker with both hands, Shane, if you want to put it like that. But she was in that final a couple of years ago. Sisondi slightly smaller. You see Kelly today, the way she changes levels against the taller opponents, she'll be doing that conversely this time, where she'll be kind of coming down in levels to meet Sisondi and try and outbox her that way. That's how that first fight panned out. Obviously, 3 years ago, things have changed ever so slightly. But if anything, I would say Kelly Harrington's got better. She's overcome injuries in 2019. 2020 was a write-off on the sports terms for everybody, obviously, but I would say she's in a better position now than she would have been 12 months ago. And for that, I think we should be grateful too.
What sort of difficulties? I mean, like, it's pretty obvious the difficulty that being a switcher provides to your opponent, but is it something that any of her possible opponents, any of the other fighters left in this, have in their locker as well?
Yeah, well, it's a difficult one. Like, Sisondi is a little bit more, I would say, orthodox. It's obviously a contradiction in terms, but she's more straightforward in her boxing style, but will pose problems in that regard. Whereas she, as I said, is used to coming up against orthodox fighters. She's not used to coming up against switch hitters like Kelly Harrington. And the way she does it, sometimes some fighters do it for the sake of doing it almost, whereas it is very fluid for Kelly. It's almost second nature, where she'll be in a clinch or in an exchange on the inside, and as she steps back out, she'll just be in the other stance. And she's forever changing the picture in front of her opponent. And you can almost see it sometimes against lesser opponents, where they're all, you can visualize them processing the picture that's in front of them. And as they're doing that, Kelly will score with a combination and move away. And within that, that's how the rounds start to creep away from her. So she's like, let's not beat around the bush. Like, this is an elite, world-class athlete we have on our hands here. and they don't come around all that often on the world stage for Ireland. So we should enjoy her. This is a bronze medal, as we should, like, if we go back to the start of the conversation, not to be sniffed at. A brilliant achievement, 18 boxing medals for Ireland all time. But we have very few gold medal chances, and this is very much a gold medal chance. And I think we would be disappointed if Kelly doesn't at least give a really good account of herself in this semi-final and give herself a shot of being an Olympic champion.
Is there any concern, Ronan, about the slight damage she takes when she lands herself, or is that just the nature of the beast, the quality of the opposition, and the way her aggression, like, I mean, when she tries to get in, she's landing multiple punches, she's not just getting a jab and leaving. So is that just the nature of the beast that you take one or two if you're going to try and land multiple hits?
Yeah, like, I do think the final or the semi-final on Thursday will be more of a technical matchup. So it probably, like, she will have to take some to give some. You can't swim without getting wet, to use all these boxing clichés, but she's excellent on the inside. She's excellent middle distance. She could box at long range, but like today, it just necessitated getting in there and sort of getting past the jab of Khalif. So, you know, it's a difficult one to navigate, but she did it adeptly. I thought she was quite sparing in the shots that she took, and most of the shots she did take were cuffing, sort of clubbing shots from Khalif, not as polished as what Kelly was doing. That probably won't be the case on Thursday, in the sense that Sisson will be picking very polished shots, and I think it will be more of a high level chess match. But I think it's one very much to look forward to. It's kind of the peak of the powers of Olympic boxing.
And did you expect Caroline Dubois to win this morning?
It was an interesting fight. I don't know if you saw it, Owen, but yeah, like, RTE haven't been able to show many of the international fights outside of the Irish ones, unfortunately. But it was weird, like, because Dubois, the age profile, as we spoke about, she's obviously one of the younger people in these Olympic Games. It's probably come slightly early for her. But I thought she boxed pretty well in the first round and fended herself down 3-2. And, like, we learned ourselves from some of the quirky judging decisions from the weekend. But just her dealings with her corner in between that first round and second round, she seemed to unravel slightly as she came out for that second round. It's as if she thought the game plan wasn't working. And to my eye, it was working. She probably nicked that first round. But second round, Sisson Don came into it, sort of imprinted her expertise and her experience on her more juvenile opponent. And from that point, Dubois just couldn't get back into the fight. I think if they fought several times, if they fought 100 times, it would probably be pretty even. But like, Caroline Dubois will be back. She will be a force in Paris if she's not snapped up by the pro game, because, like, you see her style is very much suited in that regard. But I think Kelly won't be too perturbed with either opponent. I think she said the same in her interview, where she's beaten Sisson Don, she's beaten Dubois in recent months. So I think she'd be happy enough with whoever's on the table at this stage.
Ronan, you mentioned the decision to turn pro there, and, like, it just got me thinking about quotes from Jason Quigley on Off the Ball in the last number of days, and he was talking about that decision for him and how difficult it was to go from the amateur game into the professional ranks. Like, for a lot of Irish Olympic boxers now, that decision and that choice is going to have to come very shortly. Like, what considerations did dictate that choice? Is it usually things like age? Is it how a boxer, you know, what they achieve at the Olympic Games, whether they pick up the medal that they hope to get or get as far as they want to get? Or, like, what dictates the decision-making process behind, you know, deciding eventually to go pro?
Yeah, I think obviously Olympic honours or international honours, that's the thrust of sort of your appeal. And Michael Conlon turned pro off the back of a somewhat ignominious spell in Rio, obviously, but he had that world gold to fall back on, decorated medalist. So he had a good, when he went with top rank, that was obviously his selling point. But, like, it kind of depends on each case. I think Kelly Harrington was speaking to your cell phone a couple of months ago and said she's not going to turn pro for buttons. But if she comes away with Olympic gold here, obviously there will be people knocking on her door for that. The Katie Taylor is probably, like, obviously could be a natural fight given the weight class, but it's probably a little bit pie in the sky at the moment. But that's the kind of sort of allure that if she was so inclined, she could turn over for a fight like that. But Kurt Walker's probably an interesting case study, where he's 26 now, 29 for Paris 2024. So he could easily hang around and would be a huge medal prospect, as was evidenced by his brilliant displays at this Olympics. But I think he, given his fighting style and the entertainment he brings, could be one that could be courted, but it does depend on each individual case, where the likes of Brendan Irvine, Emmett Brennan could also, their styles might lend themselves to the pros. The likes of Michaela Walsh, for example, very much was really a medal contender at these games if things had gone our way, but will very much be in the mix alongside Aidan for Paris 2024. So that'd be my sort of reading on the seven at the moment. I think Aidan and Michaela will certainly stay amateur, and I think Kurt Walker might be the one who might be coaxed over to the pros.
Just on Kurt Walker, under no illusions that it was a certain Billy Walsh that drafted him into that Irish high performance unit in 2012. And to watch that fight at the weekend, losing to Duke Reagan, and a bittersweet moment, I guess, for Billy Walsh in training a guy to beat Kurt Walker at the Olympic Games and dash his medal hopes. But when you're watching that fight at the weekend, does that only kind of serve to highlight what we're missing in not having Billy Walsh involved in Irish boxing?
Geez, it was heart-wrenching looking at the clip that was doing the rounds yesterday of Billy Walsh. Quite emotional, I think, having to... It's such a difficult... Imagine putting yourself in that situation where, as you said, Shane, picked him up in around 2012 time with the express intention, literally, of these Olympic Games, because obviously Michael Conlon and Paddy Barnes and such like were still around in 2016, so Kurt Walker would have been pegged for Tokyo, and the fact that it got to this stage and Billy Walsh was the one who sort of pulled the rug from under him, it's quite sad when you think about it. But no, to the wider point, I know that the Billy Walsh loss, it's crazy really. We're not in a position, as strong as Irish boxing is and the depth of talent we have in coaching terms and fighting terms, we're in no position to be letting international class of coach go like that. And Billy Walsh, it speaks to his reputation and renown around the world that he was out the Irish door a couple of minutes and Team USA, a behemoth of world sports, snapped him up and he is leading the charge. They were in the doldrums somewhat and they're making a bit of a charge back on the Olympic, in the Olympic fray. So I'm delighted for Billy Walsh. Obviously gutted that how the fight the other night played out. Kurt Walker had such a brilliant duo of fights early in this and it was on the cusp of medal and just got dealt a difficult fight. For me, I thought he won the fight. I thought he lost the first round conclusively and that's what ultimately did him in. I thought he won the second round and the third round. The vagaries of the scoring system are what they are. I'm not going to be overly complaining about it because there is no perfect system in amateur boxing scoring. We've tried several different ways at this stage, so this is probably the best worst one. So for Kurt Walker in the broader scheme of things, he can come away from these games in a positive frame of mind. Obviously that disappointment of having no medal is quite unfortunate, but he's been one of the star performers across the board for Irish sport at these games, I would say.
It's just so hard to come back after losing the first round, as we're kind of reminded of. The intricacies of amateur boxing, kind of we all become semi-experts. I know you're always an expert, Ronan, but the rest of us become semi-experts around this time. And that's what always my in-depth analysis is, that you lose the first round, you're up against it. Who'd have thought it, considering it's one third of the entire thing? So Kelly Harrington, Thursday morning, 6 o'clock, she'll be fighting for at least a silver medal. And it's great that it is on at 6 o'clock Irish time because it's pretty accessible for everybody. Just want to, before we let you go, Ronan, you said you were watching the hoops earlier on at Team USA with the dulcet tones of Timmy McCarthy. The relationship between Timmy McCarthy and Kevin Durant is, well, used to be my favourite thing about Team USA, but I've now moved that on to the relationship between Timmy McCarthy and Damian Lillard as the best thing, because Timmy McCarthy has started to call him Dame Dollar every time he does something good on the basketball court, and I love it so much. McCarthy's having absolute blinder on commentary. They were playing Spain this morning. Spain, an excellent team. Ricky Rubio went off throughout the entire game, but that was pretty much all they could offer. And then in the final quarter, the US pulled away. We want to see a USA-Slovenia final, Ronan. I assume you're the same.
Oh, absolutely. And Damian Lillard, it's good to see him sort of click in the exhibition games and that game against France, where he was being called Damian Lilliard by the RT country team. I think it was just the infusion of all the French pronunciations, but very much Damian Lillard turned up today, Owen, and as we both know from our NBA watching, one of the most electric athletes on the planet, and when he's on form, it's something to behold, and he was good today. And yeah, I think we want to see Luka Doncic sort of on the world scene. I think there's a strong argument to be made. He's probably the best player of his age ever to play in the NBA. So we'll see how he does against the Team USA. But it's been enjoyable. Timmy McCarthy gave me a good pick-me-up. It's been a scintillating morning of sport, to be fair. But just after the Kerry Harrington fight, I put RTE back on and any sort of lethargy was dismissed with Timmy McCarthy. He was very chipper for whatever time of the morning that was. And like, as is his wont, he's a fantastic basketball commentator. So yeah, it's weird, the sports that coming in and out of the consciousness during the Olympic Games. I remember being enthralled by the basketball in the opening weekend, and then as the track and field came into things and the swimming and all our Irish success in rowing and so on. But then it's come very much back to the fore, and like, it's Team USA is a folklore thing in American sports. The NBA free agency window obviously opened yesterday, so it's very much a buzz basketball wise the state's over. So a very interesting time all around.
And if you look at the times of the final, obviously premeditated before the tournament actually began, the bronze medal game is on Saturday night at 8 o'clock Tokyo time. The gold medal game is on at 11:30 in the morning. So I wonder which market they're trying to appeal there. But I, for one, am greatly looking forward to Luka Doncic versus Damian Lillard / Dame Dalla on Saturday morning. It's going to be a cracker.
It's like the FA Cup, where you like to see some upsets early on in the competition, but when it gets to the finals and it turns out it's Halifax against Bournemouth or something, you're not that interested. So it's good that Team USA are still there.
Yeah, 100%. Ronan, great stuff. Thanks a million.
Cheers, lads.
Ronan Mullen there with us chatting boxing, and we will be joined by Cathal Dennehy in a moment to talk athletics, because what a morning it was on the track. Just to remind you, we've got the OTB Sports Olympic show live from 5 o'clock every evening throughout the Olympics across Off the Ball. We'll be bringing you the biggest stories of the day, and we'll also take a look ahead to what is to come. It's all brought to you in association with Indeed, who are proud to support Team Ireland at the Tokyo 2020 Games. Indeed believes the world works better when people are given every opportunity to unleash their true talents. The hashtag is Talent Unleashed. We will be chatting to Cathal Dennehy in just a moment.
It's not like it's a competition that's on again next year. You have to wait a full Olympic cycle to go again. Realistically, most of the team aren't going to be here again for the next Olympics, so it's like, it's do or die.
For the best Olympics coverage, subscribe to the OTB Highlights podcast feed on the OTB Sports app now.